Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, now is out the 12th Hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is April the 12th, 2025, or is the 15th day of Abib 2029. Our first sermon today is going to be taken from Desire of Ages. So we're on chapter 33. Entitled, Who Are My Brethren? And that's also page 321, Desire of Ages by Ellen G. White. And so we'll start this service with a song and a prayer, and then we'll go into the regular service. Who are my brethren? For the sons of Joseph, the husband of Mary, the mother of Yeshua at the cross, were far from being in the sympathy with Yeshua and his work. They were also the half-brothers of Yeshua. Joseph's children, his sons. For the reports that reached them in regard to his life and labors filled them with the astonishment and dismay. For they heard that he devoted entire nights to prayer, that through the day he was thrown by the great companies of people and did not give himself time so much as to eat. Now this is talking about Yeshua, the son of Joseph. For his friends felt that he was wearing himself out by his incessant labor. They were unable to account for his attitude toward the Pharisees, and there were some who feared that his reason was becoming unsettled. For his brothers heard of this and also of the charge brought by the Pharisees that he cast out devils through the power of Satan, for they felt keenly of the reproach that came upon them through their relation to Yeshua, for they knew what a tumult his words and works created, and were not only alarmed at his bold statements, but indignant at his denunciation of the scribes and Pharisees, for they decided that he must be persuaded or constrained to cease this manner of the labor, and they induced Mary to unite with them, thinking that through his love for her, they might prevail upon him to be more prudent. It was just before this that Yeshua had a second time performed the miracle of the healing a man possessed blind and dumb, and the Pharisees had reiterated the charge. He casts out devils through the prince of the devils. Matthew 9:34. For Yeshua told them plainly that in the attributing of the work of the Holy Spirit unto Satan, they were cutting themselves off from the foundation of the blessing. Those who had spoken against to Yahshua himself, not discerning his divine character, might receive forgiveness. For through the Holy Spirit, they might be brought to see their error and repent. Whatever the sin, if the soul repents and believes, the guilt is washed away in the blood of the Yahshua. The he who rejects the work of the Holy Spirit is placing himself where the repentance and faith in the blood of the Yahshua of the everlasting covenant, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, can not come unto him. For it is by the Spirit that the Yahweh the Father works upon the heart. When men willfully reject the Spirit and declare it to be from the Satan, they cut off the channel, and I might say they cut off the very channel that the Yahweh has given for the communicating with them. For the Spirit is finally rejected, and there is no more that the Yahweh, the Father, can do for the soul. For the Pharisees, unto whom the Yahshua spoke this morning, did not themselves believe the charge, for they brought against him. There was not one of those dignitaries that had felt drawn toward the Savior, for they had heard the Spirit's voice in their own hearts declaring him to be the anointed of Israel, and urging them for the confession of themselves as his disciples. In the light of his presence, they had realized that their unholiness, and had longed for a righteousness which they could not create. But after their rejection of him, it would be too humiliating for the receiving him as the Messiah. Having set their feet in the path of the unbelief, they were too proud to confess their error. And in the order for the avoiding of acknowledging of the truth, they tried with the desperate violence for the disputing of the Savior's teaching, for the evidence of his power and mercy exasperated them, for they could not prevent the Savior from the working of the miracles, for they could not, and they could not silence his teaching. Really, they did everything in their own power for the misrepresenting him and for the falsifying of his words. Still, the convicting spirit of the Yahweh followed them, and they had to build up many barriers in the order for the withstanding of his power, the mightiest agency that can be brought for the bearing upon the human heart, was striving with them, for they would not yield, but they would not yield. For it is not the Yahweh that blinds the eyes of men or burdens their hearts, for he sends them light for the correction of their errors, and for the leading them in the safe path, for it is by the rejection of this light that the eyes are blinded and the heart hardened. Often the process is gradual and almost imperceptible. Light comes to the soul through Yahweh's word, through his servants, or by the direct agency of his spirit. But when one ray of the light is disregarded, there is a partial benumbing of the spiritual perceptions, and the second revealing of the light is less clearly discerned. So, the darkness increases until it is night in the soul. Thus it had been with these Jewish leaders, for they were convinced that a divine power attended the Yahshua, but in order for the resisting of the truth, they attributed the work of the Holy Spirit unto Satan. And in doing this, they deliberately chose deception. For they yielded themselves unto the Satan, and henceforth they were controlled by his power. Closely connected with the Yahshua's warning and the regard unto the sin against the Holy Spirit is a very warning against idle and evil words, for the words are an indication of that which is in the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, but the words are more than an indication of the character. They have power to react on the character. Men are influenced by their own words, often under or with a monetary impulse prompted by the Satan, for the giving utterance unto the jealousy or the evil surmising, by the expression that which they do not really believe, for the expression reacts on the thoughts, and they are deceived by their own words, and come to believe that the truth that was spoken at the Satan's instigation, having once expressed an opinion or decision, for they are often too proud to retract it and try to prove themselves in the right until they come to believe that they are. It is dangerous to utter a word of the doubt, dangerous to question and criticize divine life, for the habit of their careless and irreverent criticism reacts upon their character, and their fostering irreverence and unbelief. Many a man indulging this habit had gone on unconscious of the danger until he was ready to criticize and reject the work of the Holy Spirit. For the Yahshua said, every idle word that men shall speak they shall give account thereof in the day of the judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Then he added a warning unto those who had been impressed by his words, who had heard him gladly, but who had not surrendered themselves for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. For it is not only by the resistance, but by the neglect that the soul is destroyed. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, said the Yahshua, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out, and when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnered. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. There were many in the Yahshua's day as they are today over whom the control of Satan for the time has seen broken through the grace of Yahweh, that they were set free from the evil spirits that had held the dominion over the soul, for they rejoice in the love of the Yahweh, the Father, but like the stony ground, hearers of the parable, they did not abide in his love, for they did not surrender themselves unto the Yahweh daily, that the Yahshua might dwell in the heart. And when the evil spirit returned, the seven other spirits more wicked than himself, they were gradually dominated by the power of evil. When the soul surrenders itself unto Yahshua, a new power takes possession of the new heart. A change is wrought which man can never accomplish for himself. It is a supernatural work, bringing a supernatural element into the human nature. For the soul that is yielded unto the Yahshua becomes his own fortress, which he holds in a revolted world, and he intends that no authority shall be known in it but his own. For a soul thus kept in the possession by the heavenly agencies is impregnable to the assaults of the Satan. But unless we do yield ourselves unto the control of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, we shall be dominated by the wicked one. For we must inevitably be under or within the control of the one or the other. Let's read that again. For we must inevitably be in the control of the one or of the other. are of the two great powers that are contending for the supremacy of the world. For it is not necessary for us to deliberately choose the service of the kingdom of the darkness in order for the coming under its dominion. For we have only to neglect to ally ourselves with the kingdom of light if we do not cooperate with the heavenly agency. Satan will take possession of the heart and will make it his abiding place. For the only defense against evil is by the indwelling of the Yeshua in the heart through the faith in the blood of his righteousness. Unless we become vitally connected with the Yahweh, the Father, we can never resist the unhallowed effects of the self-love, self-indulgence, and redemption for sin. Now let's read that last sentence again. Unless we become vitally connected with Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, through the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, we can never resist the unhallowed effects of the self-love, self-indulgence, and temptation for the sin. For we may leave off many bad habits. For the time, we may part company with the Satan. Only without a vital connection with the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, through the surrender of ourselves unto him moment by moment, we shall be overcome. Without a personal acquaintance with the Yahshua and a continual communion, we are at the mercy of the enemy and shall do his bidding in the end. For the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so, said the Yahshua, shall it be also unto this wicked generation. There are none so hardened as those who have slighted the invitation of the mercy and done despite unto the Spirit of grace, for the most common manifestation of the sin against the Holy Spirit is in the persistently slighting heaven's invitation to repent. Every step in the rejection of the Yahshua is as a step toward the rejection of the plan of salvation, the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, and toward the sin against the Holy Spirit. In the rejection of Yahshua, the Jewish people committed the unpardonable sin. And by the refusing of the invitation of the mercy, we may commit the same error. We offer insult unto the Prince of Life and put him to shame before the synagogue of the Satan. And before the heavenly universe, when we refuse to listen unto his delegated messengers, and instead listen unto the agents of the Satan, who would draw the soul away from the Yahshua. So long as one does this, he can find no hope or pardon, and he will finally lose all desire to be reconciled unto the Father, Yahweh. While the Yahshua was still teaching the people, his disciples brought the message that his mother and his brothers were without and desired to see him, for he knew what was in their hearts, and he answered and said unto him, that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciple, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Okay. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in the heaven, the same is my mother, is my brother and sister and mother. All who would receive Yahshua by the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua were united unto him by a tie closer than that of the human kinship, for they would become one with him as he was one with the Father. As a believer and doer of his word, for his mother was more nearly and savingly related unto him than through her natural relationship. For his brothers would receive no benefit from their connection with him unless they accepted him as their personal Savior. What a support Yahshua would have found in his earthly relatives if they had believed in him as one from heaven and had cooperated with him in doing the work of the Yahweh. Their unbelief cast a shadow over the earthly life of the Yahshua. It was a part of the bitterness of that cup of the woe which he drained for us. For the enmity kindled in the human heart against the gospel, the same as meaning the teaching of the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, was keenly felt by the Son of Yahweh, and it was most painful unto him in his home, for his own heart was full of the kindness and love, and he appreciated tender regard in the family relationship. For his brothers desired that he should concede to their ideas, when such a course would have been utterly out of the harmony with his divine mission. For they looked upon him as in the need of their counsel, for they judged him from their human point of view, and thought that if he would speak only such things as would be acceptable unto the scribes and Pharisees, he would avoid the disagreeable controversy that his words aroused. For they thought that he was beside himself in the claiming of the divine authority and in the placing himself before the rabbis as a reprover of their sins. They knew that the Pharisees were asking occasion to accuse him, and they felt that he had given them sufficient occasion. With their short measuring line, they could not fathom the mission that he came to fulfill, and therefore could not sympathize with him and his trial. For their coarse, unappreciated words showed that they had no true perception of his character and did not discern that the divine blended with the human. For they often saw him full of the grief, but instead of the comforting him, their spirit and words only wounded his heart. For his sensitive nature was tortured, his motives were misunderstood, his work was uncomprehended. For his brothers often brought forward the philosophy of the Pharisees, which was threadbare and hoary with the age, and presumed to think that they could teach him who understood all the present truth and comprehended all of the mysteries. For they freely condemned that which they could not understand. Their reproaches probed him to the quick, and his soul was weary and distressed, for they avowed faith in the Yahweh the Father, and though they were vindicating Yahweh when Yahweh was with them in the flesh, and they knew him not, these things made his path a thorny one to travel. So pain was Yahshua by the misapprehension in his own home that it was a relief unto him to go where it did not exist, for there was one home that he loved to visit, the home of the Lazarus and Mary and Martha. For in the atmosphere of the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews 10, 19, and 20, and love, his spirit had rest. Yet there were none on the earth who could comprehend his divine mission or know the burden which he bore in the behalf of humanity. Often he could find a relief only in being alone and communing with his Heavenly Father. Those who are called for the suffering for the Yahshua's sake, who have to endure misapprehension and distress even in their own home, may find comfort and the thought that Yahshua has endured the same. For he is moved with the compassion for them. For he bids them find companionship in him and relief where he found it in a communion with the Father. Those who accept Yahshua as their personal Savior are not left as the orphans for the bearing of the trials of the life alone. For he receives them as the members of the heavenly family. For he bids them call his Father their Father. They are his little ones, dear unto the heart of the Yahweh the Father, bound unto him by the most tender and abiding ties he has toward them, and the exceeding tenderness is far surpassing what our father or mother has felt toward us in our helplessness as the divine is above the human. For the Yahshua's relation unto his people, there is a beautiful illustration in the laws given unto the Israel. When through the poverty a Hebrew had been forced to part with his patrimony and to sell himself as a bondservant, the duty of the redeeming him and his inheritance fell unto the one who was nearest of him, of kin. See the Leviticus 25:25, 47-49, Ruth 2:20. So the work of the redeeming us and our inheritance lost through sin fell upon him who is near of the kin unto us. It was to redeem us that he became our kinsman, closer than the father, mother, brother, friend, or lover, is the Yeshua, our Savior. Fear not, he said, for I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by thy name, for thou art mine, since thou wast precious in my sight. Thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee, therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Isaiah 43:1-4. For Yahshua loves the heavenly being that surround his throne. But what shall account for the great love wherewith he has loved us? For we cannot understand that love. Really, we can only know that it is true in our own experience. And if we do hold the relation of the kinship unto him, Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, with what tenderness shall we regard those who are brethren and sisters of our Yahshua? Should we not be quick to recognize the claims of our divine relationship, adopted into the family of the Yahweh? Should we not honor and our father and our kindred? Okay, that ends chapter 33 of the Desire of Ages, who are thy brethren. Now we have chapter 34, entitled The Invitation. We're going into chapter 34, The Invitation. Okay, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For the words of the trumpet were spoken unto the multitude that followed the Yahshua. For the Savior has said that only through himself could men receive a knowledge of the Father, his Father Yahweh. For he has spoken of his disciples as the very ones unto whom that a knowledge of the heavenly things had been given. For he left none to feel themselves shut out from his care and love. For all who labor and are heavy laden may come unto him. Scribes and rabbis, with their punctilious attention unto religion, forms, had a sense of what that rites of the penance could never satisfy. For the publicans and sinners might pretend to be content with the sensual and earthly, but in their hearts were distress and fear. For Yeshua looked upon the distress and heart burden, those whose hopes were blighted, and who with the earthly joys were seeking to quiet the longing of the soul, and he invited all to find rest in him. Tenderly he bade the toiling people, "Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in the heart, and you shall find rest on your soul." In these words, Yeshua is speaking unto every human being. Whether they know it or not, all are weary and heavy laden. All are weighted down with the burdens that only Yeshua can remove. For the heaviest burden that we bear is a burden of sin. For if we were left to bear this burden, it would crush us, but the sinless one has taken our place. For the Yeshua hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53:6. For he has borne the burden of our guilt. For he will take the load from our weary shoulders. He will give us rest. For the burden of the care and sorrow also he will bear. For he invites us to cast all our care upon him. For he carries us upon his heart. For the elder brother of our race is by the eternal throne. For he looks upon every soul who is turning his face toward him as a savior. For he knows by the experience what are the weaknesses of the humanity. What are our wants, and where lies the strength of our temptation? For he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He is watching over you, trembling, a child of the Yahweh. Are you tempted? For he will deliver. Are you weak? For he will strengthen. Are you ignorant? For he will enlighten. Are you wounded? For he will heal. For Yeshua telleth the number of the stars, and yet he healeth the broken in the heart and bindeth their wounds, Psalms 147:43. Come unto me is his invitation. Whatever your anxieties and trials, spread out your case before the Yeshua, for your spirit will be braced for the endurance, for the way will be open for you to disentangle yourselves from the embarrassment and difficulty of the weaker and more helpless you know yourself to be. The stronger will you become in his strength. For the heavier your burden, the more blessed the rest and the casting them upon the burden bearer. For the rest that Yeshua offers depends upon the conditions, but these conditions are plainly specified, for they are those with which all can comply. For he tells us just how his rest is to be found. Take my yoke upon you, Yahshua said. For the yoke is an instrument of the service. Cattle are yoked for labor, and the yoke is essential that they may labor effectively. By this illustration, Yahshua teaches us that we are called unto the service as long as the life shall last. We are to take upon us his yoke, that we may be co-workers with him. For the yoke that binds to service is the law of the Yahweh. For the great law of the love revealed in the Eden, proclaimed upon the Sinai, and in the new covenant written in the heart, is that which binds a human worker to the will of the Father, Yahweh. If we were left for the following of our own inclinations, for the going just where our will would lead us, we should fall into the Satan's ranks and become possessors of his attributes. Therefore, Yahweh confines us unto his will, which is high and noble and elevating, for he desires that we shall patiently and wisely take up the duties of the service, for the yoke of the service Yahshua himself has borne, and the humanity, he said, I delight to do thy will, O my Father, yea, thy law is within my heart. Psalms 40, verse 8. I came down from heaven, not for the doing of mine own will, says the Yahshua, but the will of him, the Father Yahweh, that sent me. John 6:38. For the love for the Yahweh and zeal for his glory and love for the fallen humanity brought Yahshua down onto this earth for the suffering and for the dying, for the salvation of the fallen human race. For this was as the controlling power of his life. For this principle, he bid us for the adopting. For there are many whose hearts are aching under or with a load of the care, because they seek for the reaching of the world standard, for they have chosen its service, accepted its perplexity, adopted its custom. Thus their character is marred and their life made a weariness, and the order for the gratifying of the ambition and worldly desire, they wound their conscience and bring upon themselves an additional burden of the remorse. For the continual worry is wearing out the life forces. For our Yahshua desires them to lay aside this yoke of the bondage, for he invites them for the accepting of his yoke, for he says, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He bids them seek first the kingdom of the Father Yahweh and his righteousness, And his promise is that all things needful unto them for life shall be added. Worry is blind and cannot discern the future. But Yahshua sees the end from the beginning, and that every difficulty he has his way prepared for the bringing relief. For our Heavenly Father has 1,000 ways for the providing for us of the things that we know nothing. For those who accept the one principle of the making of the service and honor of the Father Yahweh Supreme will find the perplexities vanish and a plain path before their feet. Learn of me, says Yahshua, for I am meek and lowly in the heart, and ye shall find rest. We are to enter into the school of Yahshua for the learning from him of the meekness and lowliness, redemption, as that process by which the soul is trained for heaven. For this training means a knowledge of the Yahshua, for it means emancipation from the ideas, habits, and practices that have been gained in the school of the prince of the darkness. For the soul must be delivered from all that is opposed unto the loyalty of the Father Yahweh. In the heart of Yahshua where reign the perfect harmony with the Yahweh, there was a perfect peace. He was never elated by the applause, nor dejected by the censure or disappointment amid the greatest opposition and the most cruel treatment. He was still of the good church, but many who profess to be his followers have an anxious, troubled heart because they are afraid to trust themselves with the Yahshua, son of the Yahweh, for they do not make a complete surrender unto the Yahshua through the faith in his blood, Hebrews chapter 10, for they shrink from the consequences that such a surrender may involve, unless they do make this surrender, they cannot find peace in their soul, for it is the love of the self that brings unrest. When we are born from above, the same mind will be in us that was in the Yahshua, for the mind that led him to humble himself that we might be saved. Then we shall not be seeking the highest place. We shall desire for the sitting at the feet of Yahshua and learn of him. For we shall understand that the value of our work does not consist in the making of a show and noise in the world and in the being active and zealous in our own strength. For the value of our work is in the proportion unto the impartation of the Holy Spirit. Thus in the Yahweh brings the holiest qualities of the mind, so that in the patience we may possess our soul. For the yoke is placed upon the oxen for the aiding them in the drawing the load for the lightening of the burden. So with the yoke of the Yahshua, when our will is swallowed up in the will of the Yahweh, and we use his gifts, to bless others, we shall find life's burden light. For he who walks in the way of the Yahweh's commandments is walking in a company with Yahshua and in his love. The heart is at rest. When Moses prayed, show me now thy way that I may know thee, the Yahshua answered him, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And through the prophets a message was given. Thus saith Yahshua, stand you in the way and see, and ask for the old paths wherein the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. Exodus 33:13-14. Jeremiah 6:16. And he says, oh, that thou hadst hearkened unto my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Isaiah 48:18. Those who take Yahshua at his word and surrender their soul unto his keeping, their lives unto his ordering, will find peace and quietude. Nothing of the world can make them sad when Yahshua makes them glad by his presence and their perfect acquaintance. There is a perfect rest, where the Yahshua says, thou wilt keep him in the perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Isaiah 26:3. For our lives may seem a tangle, but as we commit ourselves unto the wise master worker, he will bring out the pattern of the life and character that will be unto his own glory. And that character expresses the glory of the character and of the Yahshua, will be received into the paradise of the Yahweh. For a renovated race shall walk with him in the white, for they are worthy. And through the Yahshua we enter into the rest. Heaven begins here, for we respond unto his invitation. Come, learn of me, and thus coming we begin the life eternal. Heaven is a ceaseless approaching unto Yahweh. Let's read that again. It says that, come, learn of me, and in this coming we begin the life eternal. For the heaven is as a ceaseless approaching unto the Father Yahweh through the blood of the everlasting covenant of his son Yahshua, that the Father used the power of for the raising up his son from the dead, Hebrews 13:20. For the longer we are in the heaven of the bliss, the more and still more of the glory will be open unto us, and the more we know of the Father, the more intense will be our happiness as we walk with Yahshua in this life. We may be filled with his love, satisfied with his presence, all that human nature can bear, we may receive here. So what is this compared with the hereafter? There are they before the throne of Yahweh and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne, which is his son Yahshua, sitting upon the throne of David, the prophecy of Isaiah 9:68, shall dwell among them. For they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto the living fountains of waters, and Yahweh shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, Revelation 7:15-17. This brings the end of chapter 34, and the end of our study for this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on your audio archive to hear this message and more. We're going to close now with a song.